have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host. Come on, somebody, if you know you've been redeemed and the Son has set you free, you are open up your mouth and give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that's due his name.
Because you deserve it. For freedom, one more day to worship you. All I want is to see your face. Redemption is my song to sing.
Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. It's the year 2022. And if you are like many people, you have made a financial resolution to get out of debt, begin tithing, or perhaps simply to spend less and save more. The challenge with New Year's resolutions is that we tend to lose focus on our commitments once the excitement of the new year is over. Making changes in our lives that help us to move forward are never easy, and yet many times these are the things that we must aggressively seek to do in order to move forward in accordance with God's will for our lives. While it would be ideal to turn a switch and make all the changes needed at one time, a gradual transition will likely prove more sustaining over time. So whatever your financial goal in the year 2022, begin first by developing a budget and asking God to help you make the gradual changes in managing your finances that will ensure long-term success. By doing that one simple step, you may find that as you make small steps forward, you will begin to see God give you amazing blessings that double or triple your efforts. I remember the year I made the commitment to tithing. My salary was pretty small and my expenses were pretty high. I couldn't figure out how I was going to make it happen, but I knew that it was God's will. So initially, I began tithing from my net take-home pay rather than my gross. I didn't always get it done, but I began to see unexpected financial blessings, which affirmed for me that I was headed in the right direction. After consistently doing that for about 2 years, I felt confident that I could make the transition to tithe from my gross pay. Whatever the change that you need to make, don't allow any temporary setbacks to keep you from moving forward. God looks for us to genuinely seek Him and move forward on those things that we must do to be in alignment with His will. You can trust that as you move forward, He will reward that effort with additional favor. Remember, each day is a new opportunity to take steps toward accomplishing your financial goals. It is not easy to stay focused, but if you do, the rewards will make your efforts well worth it. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. The Jackson Southerners, an American traditional gospel music group from Jackson, Mississippi. They were formed in 1940 by record producer Frank Kreisler. They did not start actively recording and releasing music until 1969. The group at its inception included Huey Williams, Roger Bryant Jr., Maurice Sorrell, James Burks, Luther Jennings, Dr. Gary Miles, Bernard McClendon, and Melvin Wilson. The group released 28 albums from 1969 until 2010. Of these albums, 11 of them charted on the Gospel Albums charts. The group received a Grammy nomination for Best Traditional Gospel Album at the 34th Annual Grammy Awards for the album Thank You Mama for Praying for Me. The Mississippi Mass Choir. After wrestling with the idea of forming a mass choir, Frank Williams, a member of the Jackson Southerners and an executive in the gospel music division of Malaco Records, decided to form the Mississippi Mass Choir. Then he began calling on talent from Mississippi, like David R. Curry Jr., who became the choir's minister of music. He laid the foundation, open auditions were held, and over 100 voices from across the state came together to form the Mississippi Mass Choir. After months of rehearsal, the Mississippi Mass Choir recorded their debut album and video live at the Talia Mara Hall, formerly the Jackson Municipal Auditorium. That was on October 29, 1988. In the spring of 1989, 5 weeks after their debut album release, Billboard magazine being certified it as number one spiritual album in the country. The album stayed on the Billboard charts for a consecutive 45 weeks, setting a new record for gospel recordings. At the 9th annual James Cleveland GMWA Awards, the Mississippi Mass Choir won the Choir of the Year Contemporary and Best New Artist of the Year Traditional. They also walked away with 4 Stellar Awards in 1989 and were nominated in several categories for the 1989 Soul Train Music Awards and Dove Awards. On June 19, 2009, the Mississippi Mass Choir commemorated their 20th anniversary by recording their 9th album, Then Sings My Soul, live at the First Baptist Church in Jackson. The album was officially released on February 1, 2011. The Gospel News celebrates Black History Month for this February of 2022. This week, let's remember the great Sugar Ray Robinson. Robinson was born Walker Smith Jr. on March 3, 1921. His birth certificate lists his birthplace as Ailey, Georgia, while the boxer stated in his autobiography that he was born in Detroit, Michigan. What is known is that Robinson grew up in Detroit, and he was 11 years old when his mother left the city and took her son and 2 daughters to Harlem. And with little money, Robinson helped his mother save an apartment by earning change dancing for strangers in Times Square. The Smiths built their new home life in the section of Harlem dominated by flop houses and gangsters. Fearful that her son would get pulled into the underworld, Robinson's mother turned to the Salem Methodist Episcopal Church, where a man by the name of George Gainford had started a boxing club. Robinson, who had been the neighbor of heavyweight champ Joe Louis back in Detroit for his first bout in his career, was in 1936. He borrowed the Amateur Athletic Union card of another boxer whose name was Ray Robinson to enter the ring. Robinson wouldn't go by his birth name for the rest of his career. The nickname Sugar came from Gainford, who described the young boxer as sweet as sugar. Sugar Ray Robinson was considered one of the greatest boxers of all time. He held the world welterweight title from 1946 to 1951, and by 1958, he had become the first boxer to win a division world championship 5 times. Over his 25-year career, Robinson won the world welterweight and middleweight crowns and was dubbed pound for pound the best. He finished his career in 1965 with over 175 victories. Well, that's your Black History Moment and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, God bless you. Good evening, good evening, good evening. And we want to welcome you tonight to the Pastor's Corner.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I was on mute. Oh, wow. Old school mistake, huh? But finish up, sir. Go ahead, and I'll join you this time. How does that sound?
Man, I'm like, wait a minute. This is not like him. Hey, man, we thank God for another opportunity. Amen, to be back with you. Last week we couldn't be with you, had some technical difficulties, but we're live tonight in living color, and we got some good talk going on tonight. Amen. I am not your host. I'm your co-host, Apostle Urban A. Whitlow, Jr. I am actually the host of Making Marriage Meaningful, but that's on Saturday night. So tonight we deal with the Pastor's Corner, and we've got some good stuff to talk about. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in the host of this show who has been here for about 7 or 8 years telling people what the Bible says. If he don't get happy and preach to you, he's surely going to talk to you until you get an understanding of what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of the Pastor's Corner, Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr.
Bless your heart, my dear friend, and I do apologize again. I'm sitting there on mute thinking I'm saying something, and the truth of the matter is I'm talking loud and ain't saying nothing. Anyway, we bless God for each and every one of you coming in to be with us today. We praise God for the very fact that you've given us this opportunity to share with you. I need those of you on social media to share with your family, share with your friends. Let people know that
Amen.
The pastor
I have another line, but I'm listening intensely. You know, I always like to do things led by the Spirit of God. And as I was listening and as I had shared with you that I have a panel coming up on the 25th of this month regarding this topic. But it's just so vital. All of your points are well taken and certainly spot on. I've always been a
Have this happen. Please stay at the controls. Do not allow this to happen, please. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know you're a great producer, but we can't have this kind of stuff. This is live. Too many people watching. Professionalism is what I'm looking for. I'm finished fussing. Nonetheless, we thank God for each and every one of you coming in. I do apologize that we had to step away for a split second only because of the fact that we've got too much stuff going on at one time. There's one host for this show, but there are co-hosts. So let me get my people on right now. You just heard his voice. I'm going to bring him back again to introduce himself, to say hello to you. Please say hello to Apostle Irvin Whitlow Jr. How are you, sir?
And thank God that I am still here, still standing because of God's grace and his mercy. We're looking forward to tonight's conversation in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Also, from the city of New Haven, he is the chief apostle, the presiding prelate of the Volume of the Book International Deliverance Ministries. Please say hello to Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Good evening to you, sir.
Hello. I am a part of AA, and I am my God. You ready for the word, mate?
Amen, amen. Also, down in the Atlanta area, don't know if she's with us tonight, but we're going to sure find out. Recently affirmed as an apostle, my youngest sister in ministry, not in terms of years, but in terms of acquaintanceship. Please say hello to Apostle Felicia Flight. How are you, dear sister?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm sleeping.
Lord have mercy.
But I'm well. I'm well. I'm well.
Get y'all to wake up. We got to get y'all to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. We are having all kinds of issues tonight, folks. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm not going to fuss or fight with it. All right, Pastor Anna Henderson will not be with us tonight. And let me double check. Minister Paula Henderson, are you with us tonight? Okay. She's not here. Last but by no means least, she is the producer of the show. And if I was fussing with you and you took it the wrong way, dear Sister Kimmy Kim, don't take it the wrong way. I like things to be in order.
Yeah.
Okay, I just like it in order. Before you say another word, it's straight. Before you say another word, we've got to learn to be obedient. I'm speaking right now. And then I'm going to give you your chance to talk. But if it's just my show, then I want my show run a certain way. I don't want extracurricular stuff, and I need you to stand by the controls or be close
by. I am by the control. I can't control people talking. You asked me to unmute people, so I'm doing the best I can, but I love you.
One more time. Disobedience is not going to work here tonight. Let's try this one more time. I need you to be near the controls, and when you hear other stuff, take care of it. All right? End of story. Anyway, let's move forward. But how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Good, good. We're going to move forward. And again, to those who are listening,
whether it's by radio or whether you're listening by way of social media. And we're going to take you into something. I'm going to ask Apostle Smith if you would pray us in. Apostle Whitlow, I'm going to ask you, sir, if you would please land me Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 23 through 27. And we're going to go ahead and kick this show up. Welcome to my Facebook Live crowd. Welcome to my people who are here on TikTok. I did not include Clubhouse tonight because I'm trying LinkedIn for the first time tonight. So stay with me on this. Nonetheless, let's move forward. Apostle Smith, if you would just please pray us in, I would so greatly appreciate it.
Lord, here we are, your people, your family. We have come tonight, God, to be, God, your oracle. We have come to be that mouthpiece, that word that shall run from our heart to our lips, to people's ears, to change their situation, to change the thing they've been battling with, the thing that is going on that is not right. But God, we know you can make it right. You can make it better. You can make that life stronger, more fulfilling, and even greater in you. So Lord God, we lift you up. We praise your name. We sanctify this night that we might, God, give you more praise. Give you more glory.
Yes.
We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Apostle Whitlow, if you would please with the scripture.
Reading in your hearing, Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 23, down through 27, it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God, in Jesus' name.
Thanks be unto God. Tonight we do have a subject that I believe is going to touch a lot of lives and minister to those who would dare to take this to heart. The bottom line is this. I have a question for you, and this is going to come from a series which I'm going to entitle Cross Training. This is going to be part of what I call the Cross Training series. And my first question tonight and the first part of this series tonight is really a question that only you and God can answer. I want to ask the question, are you a fan or are you a follower? And we have to ask this question. And in asking this question, I'm trying to discover some things. I don't know about what some of you have seen and have heard over the days, weeks, months, and years. But truthfully speaking, in asking if you're a fan or a follower, I've come to discover that there are folk who go to church because they were told to go to church. They've been doing it since they were children, and they do it because they know it's the right thing to do. And then I've discovered folk who have come into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have a zeal for the things of God and have a heart's desire to minister to the Lord and to be ministered to by the Lord. And that's another type of people. And then I found a group of people who know how to put on airs. They know how to play church. They can say the right thing, can do the right thing. They can walk, they can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. And then finally, there's that last set that understands the fear of the Lord, that last set that has committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that last set that's doing all that they can do to please God. In asking that question, let me ask you a question now. Have you ever stopped to wonder if you are, in fact, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ? And we're going to interchange those two words back and forth, whether you talk about a disciple or a follower, or are you just a fan of Jesus? And it's important, and here's why. Because when you look at the centrality of the gospel 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked up to 12 guys individually, and he gave this command, follow me. Now, these guys were normal guys doing normal stuff, and they were working. They were either fishing or doing taxes or doing some other type of work that they did in their day, and they were taking care of their families. And they were like your average everyday workforce. And whether they were white collar or blue collar or just common workers, factory workers, whatever it is you want to call them, when Jesus approached them and called them out specifically, these individuals dropped everything that they were doing and they obeyed that call. And because they decided in that moment to become disciples of Jesus Christ, these guys' lives got the world turned upside down. So I got to open up with this, and I'm going to open this up. Either you, Apostle Whitlow, or you, Apostle Smith, or even you, Apostle Flight, or even Dr. Kimmy Robinson, whoever wants to answer this, can somebody give me the definition of a fan? Anyone?
I believe the easiest definition of a fan is one who strongly admires. One who strongly admires.
Uh-huh. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Nobody? Okay. Well, basically, let me share something with you. And I got to go here because it becomes imperative. In just a few short days, this coming Sunday to be exact, around 6 p.m., a group of people are going to gather in the SoFi Coliseum to witness the contest between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, quite naturally, because it's in SoFi Stadium, believe it or not, it is basically the home stadium of the LA Rams. So you would think that a hometown crowd is going to be there more so than football fans. Now, I want to show you the difference between a fan and a follower. Those who are in SoFi Stadium possibly might be a majority fans of the LA Rams, but then there are going to be people there who are not only fans of the Cincinnati Bengals, but they're just basically fans of football. Those hometown folk could be called followers of this particular team, the LA Rams. But those who just love the game of football are just there because it's the biggest, single largest sporting event that's going to take place this coming Sunday in terms of football that they have ever seen. And they just want to be in the mix. They want to be in the hoopla. They want to be in the glamour. They're not going to do anything special except show up and cheer on the team of their choice. They're not going to do anything spectacular. They're not going to commit to anything, and they're not going to allow themselves to be committed to anything because basically their team, whoever that might be, in my case, I like the AFC team, Kansas City Chiefs, who had the opportunity to get there but failed to make it. But I'm also an NFC guy, but I'm more an NFC guy than I am anything else. And my NFC team is the Minnesota Vikings. So for me personally, I'm a fan of the game. I'm a follower of the Vikings. I'm actually a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs and not necessarily a follower. I'm more of a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm using these analogies to help you, as Apostle Whitley has already said, I am an admirer of these two champion teams that are going to go at it. And one of the two champion teams that I'm going to pay attention to is basically going to be part of what it is that we call the Super Bowl. Now, with the definition, of a fan, I want to now ask, what is the definition of a follower? And I've got to listen to my spirit at this present point in time. And I want to say right here on public radio to you, Dr. Kimmy Kim, I apologize if I was fussing. It's just that it caught me so off guard, I wasn't ready for it. I have to give my deepest apology to you because you know I'm not really like that. But I find that sometimes I'm something of a perfectionist, and there are points in times when things are just going to happen. So before I go any further, I pray that you would accept my apology so that I can move forward. I would just feel better about it. All right? She's not responding. Okay, let's move forward. Now, let me ask the question. What is the definition of a follower? Anybody want to share that with me?
A follower, again, is someone who follows. That's the root word. That means to come behind or, if you will, to pay extreme attention to, almost as if you're obsessed with an individual. You more than admire them, but you want to be a part of everything they're a part of. So you follow, you're tagging along, you're involved in. So that's what I would say on that wise.
All right. Well,
I don't know.
Also, a follower sometimes will have a relationship with that person versus a fan don't.
Yeah.
That's the major difference. So.
And I like that you said that. A follower of Christ would have a relationship with Jesus Christ and willing and desirous to do exactly as he said to do, to obey what he has said. Now, one thing we do have to consider is from a biblical definition, a fan, let's look at the biblical definition of a fan or a follower. I want to do this by way of example as we get ready to open up and explore this. One good example, you can find it in the Gospel according to John in chapter 6. Many of you may not be aware of this, but this is the chapter in John where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And he has this huge group of people that he miraculously feeds. And then for some strange reason, this same crowd comes back the next day looking for more food from Jesus. And Jesus used this opportunity and says, I'm paraphrasing when I say this, look, there ain't no more food, but understand this. I am the bread of life. And if I'm enough, and if that's going to be enough, then I encourage you to follow me, to walk with me. Now, the Bible tells me in John, that same Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, and believe it or not, the 66th verse of all verses, the 6th chapter and the 66th verse, those of you that understand numbers know exactly what I'm saying right now. It was from that point is what it says, many who had been traveling with him, meaning Jesus, no longer followed him. They turned and went home. So what we can really see that there is a distinction between those who were traveling with Jesus and those who were following Jesus. In other words, those who were in it for the free bread and maybe possibly the inspirational teaching, and then there were those who were saying Jesus is enough. And there are really quite a number of examples where we can make this same distinction. We can talk about Nicodemus. We could talk about the rich young ruler. We could talk about Simon the Pharisee. And, you know, these are people who knew all about Jesus. They knew of the messianic prophecies, but they didn't necessarily know him. And they didn't get to a point in place where they could know him. I'm not saying all of them abandoned him, but what I am saying is those that had the opportunity to really learn who Jesus is, took advantage of that, and then there were those who just failed to take advantage of coming to know who Jesus is. And my coming to my spirit right now is the verse of scripture. I believe it's in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, where Paul says, and I could go back 2 more verses where Paul says, I count all things but poop for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And this is what Paul says after he makes that move. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul was simply saying that I am not a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ. I literally am a follower. And here's something that we can pay attention to. If you are truthfully a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would want to do all that Christ has called you to do. Now, those examples make the distinction clear that as you study the gospel accounts, basically, you could turn around and say that fans want to be close enough to Jesus to say that they are associated with him. If somebody asks, are you a Christian, they're the quickest ones to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Are you really? We're going to find out in just a few minutes. These individuals want to be close enough to get the benefits, but not too close. They don't want to follow so close that it literally requires sacrifice. And if you are going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, this actually requires a sacrifice. It requires a commitment. And I think what this literally demonstrates is that there is an acceptance, at least in the minds of some people who quote unquote go to church, that it's okay with Jesus, and Jesus is okay with them just being fans, and they feel like they don't really have to be committed to what the Bible says, and, you know, they figure like it's fine for them to just be exactly who they are. They don't have to do too much, and, you know, they could follow Jesus in name only. I hope you guys are following me with this. You know, being a follower of Christ requires you to be just more than somebody in name only. I mean, you could turn around and say, I'm not going to go too far with that. Is there anybody that has any comments whatsoever that you guys want to throw out there at this time? Anybody?
Well, Brother Richard, according to your explanation and your discourse just then, that we have to bring in the other definition. That there are followers, and then there are just groupies.
Uh-huh.
Groupies know how to get in the crowd, know how to do what is going for the moment. But they're not actually a true follower. They know how to get in the happening.
Come on.
And that's what we got. We got a lot of groupies. Not so really our followers in this day and hour. They know how to get in the right flow of things, but not actually going with God.
All right. I like what you're saying there. Anybody want to comment? Anybody want to make an additional comment to what was just said? Come on, y'all. We're being slow tonight. What's going on with us? I'm listening. Nobody, huh? All right. Thank you, Apostle Smith, for sharing that. I guess I need to move on. You know, it's not fine for us just to be who we want to be in name only and call ourselves a follower of Christ when we ask these very same people that say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, we very quickly find out that they're a fan because they're not willing to do what's needed and or necessary to really show that they are committed. When you begin to question them about their commitment level, what you find is that they said yes, but they tell you they follow Jesus, but for some strange reason, there are areas of their life where they're not willing to give up for the sake of Christ. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let's take the area of money. We'll sit here and say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Yet we'll turn around and say, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I got, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. And then when God requires them to bless somebody with $100, well, God, all I got is $125. I can't be giving up my money like that. I got bills to pay. I can't. You know what? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or am I just talking just to hear myself?
I'm sorry, Bishop. I woke up. Let me say this. Let me, if I can. I would say a follower is one who would lay down. They would be selfless to pick up loyalty, knowing that they're serving royalty.
Uh-huh.
So you know, in this particular scripture here, you know, as you stated, a lot of people, they are fans, yes, then some will turn away. You'll know who are loyal, and let me take this. You'll know who are fans and who are followers based on the fact that if God does not answer your prayer, will you still follow him or will you just be a fan and just put it down and pick it up, put it down and pick it up? Because, you know, we have those football teams, basketball teams, whatever, that you're a bandwagon fan is what they will say. You'll jump on the bandwagon as long as they're winning, but as soon as they start losing, you jump off the bandwagon and join somebody else. So to me, that's what a fan and a follower is. If God doesn't do anything else for me, he's done enough, but I'm still going to follow him because he is my leader.
Well, you know, is it possible that we could be dealing with said to be believers who do precisely what you just said? Is that possible?
There are. It's very, no, that's factual. That's factual.
Mm-hmm.
Let God bless somebody else around you. And we talked about this before. You know that you've done everything that you thought was accurate to God's call or to God's will for your life. And then you got Sister Pineapple over here that's sleeping, shacking, and doing everything else. But yet, it appears that she's being blessed. So with that, you become a fan and not a follower because you've taken your eyes off of what was loyal. Now you're looking at the fact that, oh, well, he did this for her, well, and I've done that. You're no longer loyal. You become a fan then.
Anybody else that want to thank you so much for that? Anybody else want to comment? I lost a page, y'all, so please forgive me if I look a little busy. Anybody else?
I think that both apostles are onto something. I think that with Apostle Smith talking about those whom you call groupies, and then with Apostle Flight talking about those who just simply fall off the bandwagon, I think to myself that there are folk who are just not really committed or dedicated or disciplined enough to continue to follow or to even be that much of a fan. You know, you go along, you kind of just go along through the motions. It's kind of like, yay, you know, kind of like, okay, here's a typical example. Everybody loved Tom Brady, those who did love him, those who weren't calling him a cheater or something else. They loved the fact that he was what they call the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And so as long as he was with the Patriots and the Patriots kept showing up to a Super Bowl, you know, it was like, oh, what chances do we have? Okay, so then he moves to the Buccaneers, all right? So now those who are Tom Brady fans, they're no longer interested in the Patriots. They now move to the Buccaneers because that's where he is. Now that he's retired, now they're sitting there saying, well, who do I follow now? See, that there are some people, they only follow what is trending. If it's trending, if it's popular, if it's hype, so to speak, they'll pay attention to it, and they'll tag along to see what's going on. But they're not really a fan. They're not really a follower. They're just going along to see how far it will take them.
All right. All right. Anybody else? Throw it in. Come on, Fossil Smith.
That's a good statement right there.
Uh-huh. All right.
And that's the way people get down. That's the way people roll. If I see it's working for me, I don't need to be interjecting no more than I'm doing already because it's working. But when that thing is over, so enough. I mean,
All right. Dr. Kimmy, anything you want to add to that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
While Brady was hot, a whole lot of people was hot. A whole lot of people told us, that's my team. Yeah, that's my quarterback. Now that Brady is nowhere to be seen, you don't hear them hollering nothing. Not even one team. You don't even hear a holler for the team. They just lost right now. Waiting to see who they're going to follow next.
All right. Anybody else?
Well, I just want to say, a true follower, you don't see them because they're behind the scenes. Also, I find that most of the groupies have to be known, like, I'm apostle, I'm bishop. I'm often taught to know that when you are who you are, you don't need a following base. You just do it because it's the right thing to do. And so with that being said, a true follower doesn't need sometimes a music or something to spike their relationship with God. It's more they want to pursue it because it's important for them as they continue on the walk that they are on. So that would be my input.
All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. All right, so let's move down just a little bit. We deal with this on a day-to-day basis. So what I'm talking about is not something that I've heard somebody else say. It's not something that has just suddenly come out of the clear blue school. We got folk who will go into the church building, and they'll tell you they treat people right and, you know, they pay money to the church. They didn't say they pay tithes. They say they pay money to the church. And therefore, they feel like they are a follower or that they are following Christ. What I'm trying to reiterate is these individuals literally compartmentalize their faith and their commitment as if they have the right to pick and choose what parts of Scripture they should obey and what parts of Scripture they do not have to pay any attention to. Bishop John David, you can dial in if you wish, sir, 646-564-9842. That's 646-584. Let me get that number right, 646-564-9842. If you desire to dial in, you may. I don't even know what the WhatsApp number is. I'll have to come back to it and look for it. But like I said, they want to compartmentalize. And the challenge for most fans, considering themselves to be followers, they really don't know the difference. They fail to basically closely examine what it is that Jesus is saying. But at that given point in time, once they recognize what they are being called to do according to Scriptures, there is a hunger that comes over them. And they have that, they've responded to, you know, they'll respond to that call. And to that, once they understand what it is God is calling them to do and they accept the assignment, now they begin to respond to the call. That's pretty much what I'm trying to say. And a lot of us, when we go to share Jesus Christ with them, we'll run into quote-unquote Christians. And, you know, and I'm saying quote-unquote Christians in parentheses, and, you know, they'll tell you what they are, what church they go to, who their pastor is, what they've been doing, and, you know, we've been doing this and we've been doing that. And the truth of the matter is, you know, good, you've been doing these things. But what I'm trying to find out is, are you a fan of Jesus Christ or are you a follower? One thing that I do equate to this and put to this equation, I found out when I look at Matthew, the 25th chapter, I talked many times about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And when you're a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ, you equate that to those of the goats. You're not really committed to anything. You go through the motion and the emotion only because of the fact that it's expected of you. And when you're put in a situation where you're in the public eye, now you're ready to put on a show. And so you fall into that goat category. The sheep don't, and you said it already, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the sheep are not looking to be in the forefront. The sheep are just looking to be part of whatever it is that's going to bring relief to the individual to whom they are ministering to. They understand the wisdom of winning souls, and their whole program is all based upon obeying the scriptures and fulfilling the will of God in their personal lives. They're feeding the hungry. They're visiting the sick. They're visiting those who are in prison. They are praying for their pastor. They're doing all the things that are needed and or necessary. They're literally walking in love. I guess that's the best way to say it. They're walking in, and I know there are fans who know how to walk in love. But to those who are fans of Christ and not followers, walking in love requires, again, a sacrifice and a commitment. I explained this, God knows how many months ago, so I'm just going to say it again. When we ask what is love, I shared with you that love is the desire to give at one's own expense, for that's what real love does. And the truth of the matter is, if you are walking in the love of God, or the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you have a heart for ministry. You are walking in what I call the servant leader's role. Your concern is not how much money you can get out of a congregation. Your concern is not how many accolades people are going to throw at you. Your concern is not, you know, who is going to put you on a pedestal or how well you can preach. None of that's your concern. Your concern is to see that soul, A, number one, with its needs met spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and if you are able to, financially. When you go back and look at the church, we ain't talking about the church at Antioch, the first church, when the day after Pentecost and weeks and months and years after Pentecost, the Bible says they had all things in common, that they were with one accord, that they walked together, they worked together, they ministered together because they had a sense of urgency after having had spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. They realized that all they had was God and each other. So they understood what it meant to be in ministry. There's folk in ministry today. They are in ministry for the sake of what they can get out of it. They're trying to build a name for themselves, and they're trying to see how much money they can collect from their local congregation. They're trying to see how many important platforms they can be asked or invited to, so that they can put their soapbox ministry out there for the rest of the world to see. Don't be overly concerned with that stuff. If you are a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus gave you simple commands. He said, A, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. You get those two commands under control, and you're doing the entire will of God in those two things all by thyself. Is there anybody that agrees or disagrees with me?
I completely agree with you. Again, you know, it takes someone, again, who's going to be disciplined to do it. You're not somebody who just want to go through the motions.
See, no.
That's what, unfortunately, religious folk do. Religious folk, they go through the emotions, you know, to make it seem like there's so much happening and so much, but they're really not in tune. They're really not interested. They're really not committed. They're really not dedicated, and that's what it boils down to. See, God is looking for those who want to do it the way he wants it done, say it the way he wants it said, live it the way he wants it lived, and no other way, because they want to be a replica. When you become a follower, you want to become a replica. I think about being a father, and I think about when I do certain things, how my children, they watch me, and then what they do is they pretend that they're doing the same thing. So when the holiday comes around, they see daddy with tools. What they want is they want some tools. So you get them the toy tools. And what they do is when they see how daddy would take a saw and he would do that, that's what they would do. These are the things that God is looking for. If you will, because he gets what he says. He says, these followers of me, or that be ye imitators. If anything, we're supposed to imitate him. Imitate. We're supposed to mimic him. We're supposed to be a replica of him. And we can't do it if we don't follow him, but follow him closely.
Uh-huh. All right. Anybody else? I like that, Apostle. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Anybody else? And let me say what Apostle Westbrook has written. And again, in love, I'm going to say this. I don't know why you are on Facebook when you are always invited to the show. You can always call in and be part of the show. But I'm going to read what she wrote here. She says, when I was talking about Philippians 3:10, she says, we identify with his sacrifice and surrender. If you are a true follower, period. She turns around and his sufferings. She says, all I know, the Bible says, if you love me, obey my word. A true disciple or follower must take up his own cross. And I'm kind of glad that she brought that up, because now I'm going to switch over to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. When Jesus turned around and says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. In other words, take up the cross of Christ. What does the cross of Christ mean? And let me show y'all something. In the Gospels, right here in Matthew 10:38, is the first time we hear the word where Jesus mentions the word cross to his disciples. You can also find reference to that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. And to them, it should have evoked a picture of violent, degrading death. After all, when you turn around and say, take up his cross, let's look at the brutality of the cross of Christ. That cross, we make it, I know you've seen pictures of a white Jesus looking all pristine and all cute with the cute little crown of thorns on his head, with his loincloth around his waist, and he's hanging there looking all deity-like, and that is just not the picture that you need to see. You have to understand that, number one, that cross was rugged. It was a tree. It was a sturdy tree trunk that they use, a rough, sturdy tree trunk. It was not cut out and shaped into a nice, smooth, shellacked and sanded down cross. Throw that garbage, throw that mess in the garbage, because it was nothing like that. It was like one of them rough trees you see sitting outside, whether it was an oak or a sycamore, redwood, or whatever kind of tree was over there that they used. It was rough. Keep this in mind. Our Lord and Savior's back had been ripped open, and he had been whipped to oblivion, to the point and place of till he was not able to be recognized. And then he had to carry this 300-pound cross 3.5 miles and then up a hill called Golgotha, along with some help by a young man by the name of Simon. And as they got this bloody, this rough, rugged tree that made a cross up there, they turned around and laid him down on this cross, and between the palms of his hands and the little wing, I call it wishbone, that's in between the feet. If you ever touch the top of your feet, you'll feel two bones that go off to two sides, and there's a split right there. They drove the nail with both feet, right one under the other, right through, and nailed it to that cross, hoisted that cross up in the air. So lose the idea that this cross was some pretty little thing that he could sit there and say, oh, I'm on the cross and I'm about to die. There was nothing like that. It was brutal. It was violent. It was vicious. Get this in your mind. And all Christ is saying to us is we have to invoke that picture in our mind. He was demanding total commitment from them, even to the place and point in some cases where it would literally cost them their life. And making this call to full surrender was a part of the message they were to proclaim to other people as they ministered and won souls to the kingdom. This same call to either life or death devotion to Christ has been repeated time and time again throughout the gospel, that for those who come to Christ with some self-renouncing faith, there will not be any true eternal life for you, because your way is not God's way. You have to do it God. Being a fan of Jesus Christ means that you can do whatever you want to do, but being a follower of Jesus Christ means you have to become like Jesus. And I like something, I'm going to throw this out there. I know I sound a little bit excited. It's because I am when I think about this and God placed in my spirit, are you a fan or are you a follower? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Understand the word crucified. I've been put to death. All my little habits, all my little cares, all my little worries, all my little concerns, all my shortcomings, anything that was sinful in my life was nailed to that cross when they nailed my Lord and Savior to the cross. Nevertheless, in this physical body I live, yet it's not I who lives in this physical body, but it's Christ who lives in me. Paul went on to say, in the life I now live, in this physical body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Christ calls a man, he bids that man to die. Maybe some of you now understand why Galatians 3:1 says what it says. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth, because your life is hid in God with Christ. Somebody come on and talk to me because I'm about ready to take off. Talk to me, somebody. Did I lose you guys?
Bishop elect, the scripture that really, I think, capsulized what you just said is that I may know him.
Yes.
And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering.
We spoke about that earlier, sis.
Being made conformable unto his death. You know, becoming a true follower or disciple, we have to take up our own cross, amen, and walk the way of the cross. And you mentioned it so eloquently. It was not an easy stroll down Fifth Avenue, amen, glory to God. But the word has to become ingrained in us to the extent that, as I think someone mentioned, that we begin to think like him, have the mind of Christ. We move like him. In him we move and have our being, amen. And our motivation and intentions are kingdom directed. We apply the word to our life, knowing that Christ, even though he has identified with our sins, but that we identify with him and his suffering and his sacrifice and, glory to God, his surrender. See, the word obedience, you find in that the word die. And in coming to a place of accepting him completely, and it's a process. It's not something that is done instantaneously, amen, unless you have a road to Damascus experience. But it is a process where there is a peeling of this old nature, and we take on the nature of Christ. We become, hallelujah, made and conformed to his image. We are being transformed in the name of Jesus. So it is a follower being a disciple who has learned to die, amen, dying to self, dying to your own motivations, not being concerned about your platform, but who's following, who's not following you, not being concerned about who's giving you the greatest offering, amen, but that your life and your intention is, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. And I love this scripture. It speaks to me. I know it says, except a corn of wheat, what, falls into the ground and dies. It abide alone, but if it die, it bring it forth much fruit. Hallelujah.
And say, CJ, you just quoted one of my absolute favorite scriptures found in John, the 12th chapter and the 24th verse. And all that you just mentioned, we had talked about a little bit earlier. It's beautiful that we have you on now. I just wish we had had you on a little earlier because, I mean, you just reiterated what we had just said. And all I'm trying to drive
Amen.
Home is simply this. We have to recognize something, and I'm going to bring this thing down to a close. I know we usually stay here till about 11:30, but I'm going to give you guys a break because this is just the introductory to what we are going to do. I'm going to start. I got to figure out when I can get this started. I'm going to go back to Clubhouse and relaunch the Pastor's Corner from Clubhouse. It's a discussionary thing, so whatever we don't get a chance to discuss here, we can talk about it over there. If you recognize and realize what Paul is saying in Galatians 2 and 20, Paul is simply saying, I have made a commitment to totally follow Jesus Christ at whatever expense it takes place, whatever it takes to follow him. That's what I am willing to do. As I said earlier, when Christ calls us to come and to follow him, he bids us to come and give ourselves up so that we can give ourselves away. After all, Jesus gave up his life so that we could have eternal life back. That's the reason why he died. He died so we could learn to live as he lived. You see, when God said way back in Genesis, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, spiritually speaking, he was talking about our spirit man. He was not looking for us to, in the flesh, try to be a follower, try to be like him, because he already knew that from the time of Adam and the time of the fall, our flesh was now doomed to eternal damnation. The flesh. He turned around and told Adam that in your days, while you're on the face of this earth, you're going to work and eat by the sweat of your brow. He said, from dust you came, and from dust you shall return. So that lets you know that those of us who are wrapped, tied, and tangled in these physical bodies, I don't care. And if you guys, anybody that's on here, please, please respond. Don't wait for me to finish. If you've seen TikTok, if you've seen Instagram, if you've seen Facebook Live, if you've seen Snapchat or any of these other social medias, I have never seen a time in my life where young ladies are displaying their bodies more so than I have ever seen in my life. They're doing these Brazilian butt lifts, and they're doing these butt injections and these breast injections, and they're so wrapped, tied, and tangled and amazed with their physical bodies, they're not paying an ounce of attention to their souls. And this is becoming a problem, because we as preachers, we as leaders, those of us who are out here and are supposed to be spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll sit there and admire what a beautiful butt she has. Oh, wow, she has nice breasts. Look at that cleavage line. No! No! That's not what we're supposed to do. And whether you say it out loud or say it in your mind, somewhere down the line, it comes across. And please don't sit here on this telephone or on Facebook or wherever you are and lie and say you don't ever let that thought pass your mind, because you're lying. Let's just say it straight. You are lying. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I love my wife with all my heart. But when a young lady passes me and she's well-built, everything in me has to look in another direction, because if I look too long, I'm going to put myself in a jeopardizing position. And that's real. And then on the other hand, these young men with these skinny jeans, I like the fact that you're 6'4 and you got this nice muscular build, but don't nobody need to be staring at your water hose, sir. Thank you. You know you have an anaconda, but we don't need to know you have an anaconda. Yeah, I'm saying it as politely as I know how. Y'all awful quiet tonight. Man, oh, man, oh, man. If I knew I was going to be doing this by myself, I would have just done this ahead of time and sent it in and went to bed. Talk to me, you guys. And I have silence. Wow. Well, Dr. Kimmy Kim, I guess nobody wants to do much talking tonight, so I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask this question.
Well, you're saying a lot. I mean, we're thinking. Sometimes you have to ponder on the things you're saying. It's not that we don't want to talk, but you said something that was very profound. It is important that you dress in modesty, because it says that in the word. And also, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know really that there are different dress codes. A lot of people don't understand the modesty behind after you become a believer, because someone may not had, you know, second Messiah to train them. I was taught up to dress this way, and I tried to trickle that down to my girls. But one way we can also help people to understand the modesty is maybe sometimes talk about it. Maybe some people don't know, but hey, you're not supposed to be wearing this. Because, you know, sometimes when you do things like, if you're like a mom at a senior mom at a church and you see someone with a short skirt, you know, don't go to that person to say that your skirt is inappropriate. First, develop a relationship. You may, that may be the only thing that they have. But when you're honest and when you're talking out, but it's, I know God don't care about what we have on, but once you become a believer, you start dressing differently. You don't dress the same way as you would, as the world would do. And so I don't see a lot of training like we used to have about how, what is a great attire to wear in church. Because growing up, we had those type of classes, but they don't have those things anymore. And if you don't have, if you don't know, you may think that this is okay. And so you do think, but then let's talk about those who've been in church for over 20 years. Now I'm starting to see them changing more so to become like the world versus those who are new to Christ. So we're supposed to be a reflection on what we should dress like. I mean, I have seen some people who've been a pastor wearing like things that are inappropriate. You should like not wear so much jewelry and so much cologne. Modesty is what God, anything that you do too much of is a sin, basically. I'm basically saying. And we must show people correction and love. You know, set them aside. Don't confront them in the public, you know, because it says that a soft wrath turns away. A soft answer turns away wrath. And so we have to show the young people how to do things in love, you know, because they may come from a generation, they don't know anything about God. We don't know where they come from until you get to know them. That's why it's good to have a relationship with people who don't fully understand before you judge them based on how they look. Because honestly, I have seen people with long skirts and they're the meanest, where I have seen people with short skirts and they're nice. So I understand, yeah, but I'm just saying. It's not always based also on the outer, but more so the inner. But when you become a believer, you will want to change.
Amen, amen. Anybody want to add to that or share?
Let me say this. First of all, let me say one of the reasons I'm not doing a whole lot of talking is because I'm trying to get ready for this revival that I've got in Louisiana. So I'm still packing and trying to get things together. So that got my attention. But let me say this. When you really follow someone, what happens is in the process of time, you begin to take on their standards. You begin to take on their disciplines. You begin to take on those things that make them who they are. And so here's the thing. Watch me. I'm going to say something that's going to bother somebody now because I've been trying to get this out for a moment. Watch this. The Bible says this. Watch, and I'm going to stay within your context. Watch this. The Bible says that Simon, Satan has demanded you, for he desires to sift you as wheat. Watch this.
Yeah.
But I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, watch this, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Okay, here's what you have to understand. That Peter had been with Jesus for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And in the 3 years, been convicted by a number of things that Jesus said as a follower, but he was never converted.
And so because he was never converted, that's why he was able to deny him. See, because when you're a true follower, watch this, there are certain convictions that will convert you so that you will actually operate in the same manner and the same capacity as the one you follow. So he had not been converted, though he had been convicted. And so people have been going to church for years, but again, they are convicted, but they're not converted, because to them, it's all about a religion. It's all about the features, but it's never about following for the benefit of becoming who he wants you to become. And so that's why people don't want to take up their cross. Have you ever heard the saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die? It's the same concept. We want to follow Christ, but we don't want the responsibility of taking up our cross. We don't want to be bothered with conflict. You can't serve God and have conflict. Because if you're serving God and having conflict, then that means your life ain't right, when it's the furthest thing from the truth. If you don't have conflict, then you don't have no with him. That's what it boils down to. And I'm going to hold right there because I just thought something happened.
Well, you know what, and I thank you for putting that out there, because all that holds true in all that you are saying. The one thing that I'm also going to add to what you both say is simply this, and I'll throw one more saying at you. Have you heard the saying before? Everybody wants to be a diamond, but they don't want to get cut. And you know, if you know anything about a diamond, you know that is one of the hardest, toughest surfaces that you could ever encounter. And when somebody comes to shape you, to formulate you, God uses them to make and mold you. The very first thing you want to do is buck against or kick against the goad, if I could use that phraseology. The main thing is, I'm simply saying here, is we have to, from this day forward, have to start deciding, where do we want to be in Christ? Where do we want to be? Got to ask that question. And the reason why we need to ask that question is because too many people want to be in the wrong place at the right time when they need to be in the right place at the right time. And then there are those who are in the right place at the wrong time. It's not that you're not supposed to be where you are. It's just simply that being where you are in that moment is not where God wants you. Everybody wants to bypass kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, and high school and go straight to college. Well, that's just simply not going to work, because each level has a process of training that you have to go through. And if you're going to be a follower of Christ, it means you're going to have to learn the aspects of what it means to crawl before you can actually walk, before you can literally run. You can't run if you never learned how to crawl. I've yet to see a baby come out of its mother's womb kicking and screaming after he got his butt spanked and get off the table and start running down the halls of the hospital. And if that's ever happened, somebody call me, show me the video. I want to see this. And don't give me nothing that's been doctored up and fixed up so it looks like something altogether different. I'm serious about this. The bottom line is this, and only you can answer this question. It's time to get off the fence. I'm going to say something else. This might offend some people, but I'm going to put it out there. Either poop or get off the pot. Make a decision. God is calling us in the valley of decision in this day and in this age. What are you going to do? Leaders, what are you going to do? Laity, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to be a fan and like those hundreds of thousands of people that's going to cheer on the Rams and or the Bengals? Are you going to sit in the stands and yell at the ref when you don't like a call, or boo when somebody does something that you don't like? Or are you going to be a follower and get in the game and get some instruction and learn how to move forward in the things that pertain to life and godliness? What are you going to do? God's giving you decisions, and that choice is yours. You can sit there and keep doing what you've been doing, or you can make a change. That's up to you. And if you dare make a change, as I bring this to a close, if you dare make a change, then you're going to listen to what Luke 9:23 says. If any man will follow me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. We're not going to do final comments tonight. We're going to just leave it right where it is. We'll pick this up in 2 weeks. The women are coming up on next week, and I know they've got something great coming up. I don't know what they have in store, but I do plan to be here just to hear what God is going to say through them. And so we thank God for each and every one of you. This is the Pastor's Corner. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I want to thank my panelists, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Apostle Felicia Flight, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and you, the audience, for listening to us today. And we thank God for you. A special appearance by Apostle Westbrook comes in and runs right out, but oh well, it is what it is. God bless you anyway. The bottom line is simply this, and y'all got to excuse me. I know my wife got on me for saying and doing things from time to time when I'm on the airways, but you know, at my age, I have earned the right to do some of the things that I'm doing. Been on radio for going on 38 years now, and there's just some things that I just can't have happen if I can stop it. I can't stop everything, and I'm not fussing. All I'm simply saying is if I'm coming after you on something, it's not because I want to embarrass you or humiliate you. We got to get it right and get it straight, and let's try to do the best we can to never, ever, ever let it happen again. In the meantime, I want you guys to have a blessed week. I look forward to speaking with some of you in the course of the week coming up this Saturday. Tomorrow's Friday. I got something to do tomorrow, and I got to think about what it is. Apostle Flight, if you're still awake, can you tell us about what you're doing on Facebook tomorrow night at 7 o'clock or 7:30? I think she's checked out. Anyway, she should be on Facebook, Apostle Felicia Flight. I think it's, what is it called again, Apostle Whitlow, At the Table?
At the Table with Apostle King, and it is on Facebook tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m.
All right, that's Friday nights, every Friday night, 7:30 p.m. And then on Saturday, we have Make Marriage Meaningful. Go ahead. Okay.
Making Marriage Meaningful, but don't forget, Saturday at 3 o'clock.
I was going to get to that. At Saturday also at 3 o'clock, we have Shabbat Ministries with Apostle Dawn Westbrook. Thank you again for reminding me. So if you're able to make any of these programs, any of these podcasts, we invite you to come out and be part of these podcasts. God has truly been blessing each and every one of us, and we're looking forward to take us through greater, to take us to bigger, and take us to better, to do much more with us. So we're going to trust the God of our salvation and believe that he is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Until next Thursday for this particular podcast, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., saying may the peace of God continue to be to work in you, the power of God work through you, the anointing of God flow upon you. Wherever the Lord takes you, make an impact and be an impact person. Until next week for this show, The Pastor's Corner, may God be with you. Have a great night. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball's in your court.
Thank you.